Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I texted that nigga. I said, hold up, cuz.
Hey, please come visit this nigga, Jerry, bro.
Yo, you in Philly? He was like, son, It wasn't even like that. I was like, nah,
it was last minute. It really wasn't last minute for a baby shower or some shit like that.
Listen, I can't wait to come to Philly and a nigga Jerv gonna be like, nah, dog. I got I'm gonna black. I'm gonna tell you, black so hard, nigga. Like the nigga be like, yo, my bad, yo. I got hate, dog. Oh God, he gonna hit me with that. Daddy daycare ass nigga. Nigga gonna have his baby on his chest.
Nigga.
Pizza Rat just flew on my timeline. I completely forgot that ever.
Who?
Pizza Rat. Remember the rat that was dragging a pizza through the subway in NY?
Send it through the chat. I don't even remember that.
Son, you seen this shit before.
Nigga, remember that, bro?
Nigga was taking a whole slice up the stairs on a subway platform, son.
You know how I missed this, yo? Nigga said, excuse me, Rob. We ain't recording here.
Nigga, I don't know what you apologizing to me. What are you trying to say, this, brother?
Huh? The problematic nigga hours, nigga, when the shit don't hit record.
Nah. And record. There we go. All right.
Hashtag Major Cheat is funny.
Yo, my man texted me and said, yo, what's up with your man? Whatever it said, I know they talking about a meme.
Okay.
He goes, I'm like, who you talking about? You know, I play the game. Yo, who you talking about? Yo, you saw the picture of your man with Cole? I seen that shit. Yo, when your man gonna get a haircut? I said, oh, come on, my nigga. Come on.
I want him to explain, but I don't want to send somebody the downstairs intent of like he really wasn't at the Top Golf shit. But when we were at the shit, right? We were at Phoenix Waste Management shit. We pull up, right? The niggas like schooling to like how the first date was, right? So we mob, we get the wristbands and shit. Bruh, I swear, literally 2 minutes into entering, some white turns around and was like, yo, you're the guy that we could see through your hair. Nigga!
Wow. Oh my God.
I'm like, because I had literally was just Christ. Talking, literally just having this conversation with this nigga about my hair. I'm like, yeah, nigga, I talked to Kev, like, as far as getting, like, a consultation of what I should do. Because Kev was like, yo, just bling your shit. So I got the Kobe blend pretty much at this point. Like, I ain't going bald. I'm hella dramatic, but I'm just not used to the point that I can't grow hair no more. You know what I mean? Like, oh, nigga, you can't grow a nappy fro if I wanted to. So.
That shit real.
Yeah. So.
it hit different, my nigga. Like, when you no longer have an option on what it is, like, you only have, not that you have an option, but your options are very limited. Like, you can't just be like, yo, let me get the fucking this, like, no, my nigga, you can get this or you can get that. That's niggas, all you rocking with.
Niggas on some like, yo, let me get a Caesar. That's it. I'm really rocking a Pharrell, like, which I already automatically bust, but it's just like the fact that I don't have that option to like really talk my shit and be like, nah, you know, niggas, I'm gonna grow the shit today. Like, I'm gonna do this for a couple months or the entire summer. I can't get down like that because some shit gonna grow more than the other, and that shit crazy. Oh my God.
I had to blend in my wedding.
Yeah. Because it's at the point, like, it's just outgrowing the shit. Like, once shit is growing, and the thing is, though, like, I hella tripped, right? I went to the doctor to get my, like, annual shit anyway, and they were like, yo, you're not getting enough of this, you're not getting enough of that. So March 1st, I'm leaving shit and going back to...
Yo,
Apple right on cue, man. My iPhone is starting to mess up. It's time.
Did you just get the new update?
No, I did not.
Don't get the update, bro. Don't do it.
What, the 13.11?
Well, I just got a new phone anyway, because my phone just, it just straight up, it just was a wrap.
Plus, it's Wise Week.
Yo, Wise Week, that nigga paid $2 for the phone, nigga.
No.
Contract and all that.
Nah. My 18-month lease was up, man.
You're a sick nigga, man.
Nah, but actually, like, I was holding off on the update, and I made the mistake of charging my phone overnight, and that shit just automatically uploaded on me.
Yeah, that shit's trash.
Like, my thing is just, like, every once in a while to just do this thing where everything is non-responsive. like, and anything I do is either non-responsive or super delayed. So I have to hard restart my phone.
What are you on right now?
I wish I could tell you. I got to restart this thing.
I'm saying what joint? You don't even know what number you're on?
Like the iOS?
No. I'm talking about the model.
No, the phone is a 10.
Yeah, that's discontinued. They gonna shoot you something else. It's quiet.
I got the XR right now.
I remember when the X came out, I low key almost gave in, and I was like, nah. And I ended up getting XS.
The X was great. Like
Yeah, but they like pulled it ASAP. Like it was like, nah, we don't even sell these no more. So
for real?
Yeah. So you liable? You gonna have to go up. You ain't. The niggas can't even issue a new one. Niggas over there tell you keep banging. Watch out.
Well, I mean, it's out of warranty, so it doesn't matter either way. Yeah. Like,
my nigga, I had the this time last year, I had the 7 still.
Nasty rocking. Hours.
Man, I was rocking hard with that shit. And then my motherboard died. I brought that shit and I was like, yeah, you know, this, that, and the third. My man said, look, fam, I got to keep it real with you. I was like, oh, what's up? He said, yeah, dog, it's about that time. I said, nah, yo, it's not that time. Just fix my shit. He was like, no, you don't understand. We can't fix it. It's a wrap. I had to get the XR.
I mean, even when you're talking about fixing it, like at that point, at the price point, yeah, it's like you just might as well get a new one.
Nah, it was the principle for me, though.
That's how niggas did me with the laptop. Niggas was like, yo, we'll give you $300 trade in, but then it's also going to cost you $300 if you want to fix it. And I was like, man, that's my dick. I just ended up buying a whole new laptop. All right, let's get the show started.
Support for Black Opinions Matter comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Rob, you won't believe this, man, but, like, back when I was first, you know, this is first going through puberty, first starting to grow things in that region, believe it or not, I used to use actual scissors. Scissors, like the sharp kind that seamstresses use, because my mom had a crazy sewing skit. So I used to use those really sharp scissors. And even though I was being very careful, I came, man, closer than you would even think to catastrophic results, Rob. And so that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts, bruh. Which is huge, because who wants bloody balls? Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you do your balls. That's just disgusting. Manscaped is also the crop preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant that I happen to use today, and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why not put deodorants on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BOM at manscaped.com at checkout. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code BOMBOM at manscaped.com at checkout. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code BOMBOM at checkout.
Welcome to another fun-filled edition of Black Opinions Matter. We got a good squad today. It's me, it's Black Trey, Big Waz, Jerv, Rob Lopez producing. We got a bunch of stuff to get into, but first, reminder, live show at the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York, March 28th. This is a Saturday. Tickets are available, countthedings.com/tickets, or countthedings.com, I should say. And then there's a link for live shows right there. You can purchase tickets there. We're going to have, as always, special guests. We're going to be announcing the guests in the next couple of weeks or so. But basically, get your tickets now. We got plenty of time. If you got to book travel to New York, if you're not already in New York or somewhere close by in the greater tri-state area or up and down the Eastern Seaboard, Boston, Philadelphia, D.C., I see all of you guys. Go ahead and make sure you're there. If you've been to a live show, you know there's nothing like a live show experience. If you haven't been to a live show, what are you waiting for? On that note, get started with the show. Is that everything? Anyone else got any other...
No, that's it. Just so that they know, man, we got plenty of guests on the docket. You're not going to want to miss this. It's going to be incredible. Past guests include Jake One, Taylor Rooks, Pablo and Bomani, Jay Adonde. I don't know who else I'm missing, but you know we had mad guests in the past, yeah, man. It's been an incredible run of guests.
We're really good at getting guests. Like, these shows always have good guests. Henry Abbott was at one.
Eric and Jeff of It's the Real.
We come correct with the guests every single time. So, you know, it'll be, and especially in New York City, that's one of our strongest hubs. So we always get good guest action there. All right. Let's get started. There's no power this week, guys, because power apparently bows down to the Super Bowl. I know there's a leaked version of the finale that's out there, but as I understand it, I think 50 Cent is trolling. And maybe the leaked version that everyone's watching isn't the real one. So we'll see next week. we're going to have Naima, right? Naima is going to be here.
Yep.
Naima is going to be here next week. But this week we got a couple of fun things. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl commercials and Super Bowl in general. We're going to talk about Lil Wayne. But we're going to start, as always, with Curb Your Enthusiasm. And guys, I guess my enthusiasm was a little curbed this week.
Yeah, that's fair.
I felt like this episode was very meh.
Yeah, I thought it was uneven too. I mean,
I thought it was fitting for the mood because everybody was fucking sad as shit, still on the, you know, the other, you know, Kobe stuff. But overall, yeah, it's probably the worst one of this season.
Yeah,
I appreciated that they allowed for us to watch it during the daytime and not have to watch it after the Super Bowl, so I did appreciate that from Curb, though. That was nice.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. That was polite for them to roll it out a day before.
Yeah, I suppose. That was convenient. It was convenient. It's just one of those things where one of the things I love about Curb is that there's a strong storyline throughout the season. Give me a strong storyline. This family has moved because of Hurricane Katrina into Larry's house. Larry is trying to open a restaurant, right? Larry is going to be in the producers. Larry is rebooting Seinfeld, right? Right. Larry's got a fatwa on his head. Even that last season, which we all thought started very slow, but then ended pretty strong. And this year, I'm not sold on the Spite store is funny, but it doesn't feel like it was a strong enough thing to start them on. And then the whole Me Too thing, while I think it's funny as well, I just feel like this kind of run its course.
Yeah.
Like, it's run its course. Like, it's not a strong enough storyline to carry an entire season. In this episode, because he messed up the side sit situation with the assistant, now the assistant's demand was that he donate a bunch of money to a charity and also give a speech, which I didn't understand. Like, why would that be her demand? Like, I get the charity part. Why would her demand be?
I think that felt like they booked Laverne Cox and they couldn't figure out a way to write her in.
Yeah, they just wanted
in a dope way.
Yeah, they wanted.
They just couldn't get it done for whatever reason.
I mean, I like how Laverne Cox was used. I just don't know. Like, did
the
it have
story
to be...
wasn't fully fleshed out?
Yeah,
because by the way, the Barcelona thing was funny, but I thought they just ran it into the ground. Oh, and I think that's what happened this episode.
That was the theme of this episode. Just burning shit out.
Yeah, they overdid all of the Curb tropes where Larry goes, what do you mean, blah, 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 blah. Like, they did that, like, 20 different times. Like, yeah. It's one of those tried and true Curb things that happen. But I feel like they burned through, like, literally all of the Curb cliches in this one episode. Even, the weirdo, there was two fights in the episode. Like, you know, it was crazy.
The pretty, pretty good. That was it me or did that seem whack? When he did it.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
It was forced. It was forced.
It was definitely ran.
Insert catchphrase right here.
I don't know what to take from this one.
Yeah, it was. I just think it was a week.
Funkhouser being alive in Curb was an interesting decision, yeah. right? Like Funkhouse is alive. He just moved to China.
When's he coming back? We don't know.
I there's a part of me that was like, that's kind of cool, man. Like, instead of trying to make it all sad, like Funkhouse died or whatever, he moved to China. I actually appreciated that. But I keep going back to the idea of him. First of all, why is he giving the speech? But second of all, when he messes up very quickly in the speech, why does the girl stand up and say, why are you even here? I thought that was her request, right?
Yeah.
Why would she say it
was just a weird, cause like there's just too much going on. Cause even the doesn't want Richard Lewis to pay the bill thing. I felt like that would, in a normal Curb episode, would be like a B plot, and they might have a C. This episode had like 5-6 plots in it.
Yeah, but
like
none
the
of them
bakery stuff.
You know what it's like? It's like the Knicks. Like you have a bunch of dudes that like
you got a bunch of power forwards.
If you were like not only just a bunch of power forwards, but a bunch of dudes. Like if you were the 6th or 7th man on a good team, you'd be really good. But now you're all jostling to be the best player on this team, and none of you are good enough to do that. And so, like, I'm watching and I'm like, I'm chuckling at some of the jokes, but I'm thinking to myself, man, like, I should have known. I told you that first episode, as funny as it was, I said, what was the point, though? It was just not ad lib jokes, but it was just like throwaway joke, throwaway joke, throwaway joke, which are funny jokes individually. But when you put them together, it didn't make much of a story. What was the other thing? It was something to do with Leon.
With Leon, I was gonna say I had a real issue with Leon being like a punk at one point. Like Leon is Mr. Yo, I'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
Right? He's the muscle, he's the security guard. And then all of a sudden, you know, maybe they're just these tough guys or whatever, but I expected Leon to be the one to stand tall. In that situation, I didn't like how Leon just got thrown in the trash.
It feel like they didn't have anything strong and they just try to go with whatever and keep it moving.
And I hate being the rewrite guy, but I just think the Me Too stuff, they like back in the days, they would just delegate that out, apportion it little by little throughout the season. Where you could even forget that it was even happening in the background. And then when you least expected it, they would spring it back on you. You know, they're just burning through the plot, which makes me think that they have a lot of stuff left, right? Like John Hamm was in the trailer for the season. He still hasn't shown up. Like they probably just got a lot more story left.
I hope so. Like that's the other thing about the Me Too thing is a lot of times Larry gets into situations that aren't quite his fault, but because he just reacts poorly in all these situations, it gets him into trouble. And like this one, I was like, yo, Larry, you can't come here. Like even Larry would not come to a survivors, whatever charity thing and start talking about, unless you're gonna let me hit it, whatever. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Like you just said, it felt out of place. It like the usual Larry is misunderstood. And this one was like, no, you're actually everything that they're accusing you of being. And I'm not white knighting it out here, clearly. but at the same time, it just didn't feel appropriate for the mood of whatever they were going for. Not appropriate as an editor is inappropriate, Larry David. It's just like I'm talking about appropriate comedically. It just didn't fit.
I'm digging the interaction between him and the lawyer a little bit, though.
No, but why would the lawyer say go have an apple and then it's like go figure out? Like,
well, first of all, why does the lawyer have real fruit in his office that's for decoration?
Yeah, I thought that was funny. I like that. I like that whole, but like the idea that he would, like he should have just let Larry like wander over and do it again. And then
there's just way too many subplots going on in this episode, dude. Like I forgot about the apple thing.
I like, you know what, the part I did like, I like the doodle part. Like the fact that none of these are doodles. What are y'all doing?
I enjoyed the doodle part.
Yeah, that doodle part was good.
I enjoyed the part on the elevator where he didn't want to give the Heimlich. He didn't want to touch her titties.
That was very Curb right there.
That was Curb. Like he didn't want to save the woman's life, essentially. He'd rather the lady died.
Yeah, rather
than caught up again in the Me Too thing
Than re-up. I wanted to ask something about the doodle, like about yo, have you ever had that when someone asks you to do something, you're like, I'm not that good at it. And they're like, no, it doesn't matter. It's just anything. You never do it. Just do anything. And then when you do it, they're like, what the hell is this? Have you ever had that happen? Because that is like legit frustrating for me. Like, this is why I didn't want to do it.
100%. I've been in that situation.
Always, man.
It sucks. All you gotta do, because it never turns out how you wanted to, like, you know what I mean? Because you already know, like, look, I told you I wasn't good at this. And you're now putting pressure on me. No, I ain't going to put no pressure on you.
Yeah.
And be like, look, man.
And then when it's not going the way that they thought it was, let me see it, or
you messed it up. Yeah, it's like, come on, man. Fuck you, man.
You want to hear something funny, man? I'm going to make a confession today.
Ooh.
That happens to me, or used to happen to me, in basketball. Because there's one thing I never liked. I never, ever liked it. I never liked it because I knew I wasn't good at finishing under these circumstances. I'm not good at cutting and finishing.
Mm.
If I'm going to make a layup, I need to be the one driving to make the layup. Or let me just space the hell out there and we'll figure it out. Or I can cut and then I'll find someone else. But like, oh, no, don't worry, just cut and let it be away. I'm like, I'm not good at it. No, no, don't worry, it's okay, man. Just get up there. We'll get. And then, man, how are you going to miss out? Like, I told you, I don't like this. I don't want to do this. There's no part of this that is like comfortable for me in my game, man. Like, it happened so many times when I was younger, man. I would get so upset. Like, I told you I didn't want to do it.
In Larry's defense, that was a doodle too, by the way.
Of course it was a doodle. Well, everything they had on that wall was not doodles. That was like extra that was artwork.
Yeah. That cats probably didn't even do themselves, by the way. They definitely got it commissioned.
Yeah.
And brought it to the joint. It was just hilarious that Larry was like, are you sure you want me to doodle? All right, give me what you want.
The fight he had, though, the fight he had with the lady after, like, she's like, what is that? It's like, yeah, it's a doodle. No, it's not. I'm like, yeah, it is. And then they're having that argument where he's saying,
okay, anyway, can we talk about something important?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'd like to talk to you about this.
Okay, what about it?
This is the doodle you give me? For charity?
Yeah.
It's terrible, Larry. We can't use this.
You said it doesn't matter what it looks like. It's a doodle.
No, this is a doodle. This is Christine Lottie.
That's a doodle?
That's a doodle.
Okay. This is beautiful.
That is not a doodle. That is a work of art, okay?
You know what?
This is going to get so much
money. So much money. This one, a nickel?
Honest
I'll
to
give
God.
You two
First
pens.
Of all, you're holding it the right way. You hold it like this, okay?
Oh, that's so much better. Let's get it framed.
Yeah, you know, it could be anything. It could be a roller coaster. It could be a shoe. It could be a large intestine. You got to think a little bit.
Oh, I'm thinking, you know what it is? It's what you find in a large intestine. That's what that is.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a piece of shit.
Okay, yeah.
It is. Well, it is, honestly. Okay. That's what I think of it, okay? Because we can't sell it. We can't do anything with it. I got to hang this up.
By the way, do you see the names of the people who had submitted drawings?
Nah, I wasn't looking at the names.
Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell was.
Oh. Larry's nemesis.
Oh, yeah, man. So where do you think, where are we going with this? What do you think of this? Where are we ending up with this stuff? Because now we're three episodes in. Now, to be fair, three episodes in a year ago, we were like, they lost the fastball.
It was looking bleak three episodes in last year. I mean, just off of the first episode.
I think we're
going to
still have some more Me Too, though.
I think we're going to have some heat, though. I think we're going to have some heat. I just can't understand why they wanted to burn through so much storylines in one episode. It just was kind of disorienting at times. So that makes me think they got more stuff up their sleeve.
But where can it go? That's my thing is like, where can it go?
I mean, you know, the Mocha Joe stuff is still there. The Ted Danson and Cheryl is still there.
I won't lie. Okay, this was something that I did like. The idea that Larry's so like, he's got such a hard on for scones. And that every person he gives a scone to, they're like, this is so dry. And like, that's how it's supposed to be. Like,
I've never had a scone in my life. I don't even know what
I don't think I have.
I don't like them.
Trey, I pegged you as the one on the podcast that had a scone. I was actually going to ask that who's actually had
never
a scone.
Never had a scone. Never had a scone. Where would you have a scone, though? Like, where would you get one? Like, where would you have one?
Starbucks.
Starbucks.
Yeah. See, I don't drink coffee.
Like, I feel like Starbucks is the place you get a scone at. You're definitely not getting it at Dunkin' Donuts.
They don't got them at Dunkin' because I've tried pretty much everything at Dunkin'.
Is a scone an East Coast thing, though?
Scone, with a C.
Yeah, that's what I said. Scone.
Oh, like a script. Scone.
Nah, like it's just my bullshit ass enunciation. But yeah, where would you actually? You said okay, Starbucks, but
the Westin.
I'm gonna walk in tomorrow and see if they have them.
They have them, man.
No, I don't want one. I just want to actually see what it looks like in person.
It looks like a dry ass like biscuit kind of.
Yeah, why would I want that?
I know, but that's the funny thing is that Larry's adamant. Like everyone's gonna love. How can you not have scone or Mocha Joe scones weren't dry enough? Because he said they were like a muffin. Awesome, I want a scone. Yeah. So the idea that he's bringing these. First of all, that he tracked the dude down. I like the start of the episode. I like that he tracked this dude, this old black man down, and he got him out of
beef with Mocha Joe too.
Yeah, he got him out of retirement just to make the Mocha Joe. Scone, and then he's got this bag of scones with him everywhere he goes, and he offers them to people, and everybody, without a doubt, hated it. Like there wasn't a single person like, this is pretty good,
bro. Look at how many things we listed from this episode, bro. Such a busy episode.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, the Mocha Joe stuff is lingering. The Cheryl with Ted Danson is absolutely lingering. Even the sweater, they had the sweater subplot. Like, they just burned through so much. Oh, yeah,
the sweater thing, like, again, that was, like, if the sweater reminds you of Cheryl, throw it out. Like, why would you give it to your homeboy? Like, I don't know, man.
But as a friend, if he just told you that the sweater reminds me of my ex-wife, right? Why did everyone just decide to go get the fucking sweater? Well, not everyone, his random cousin.
His cousin went and bought it. Like, I think his cousin was worse. His cousin went out and seeked that sweater out, man. Like, what's his name? Richard Lewis is right, man. It's mine. I can wear whatever I want.
I do appreciate his banter with Richard Lewis. Although I'm with you, I think that the whole credit card thing and paying and all that, it was a little over the top. But I did, like, you know what I mean? I do like them. Going back and forth, I wish that we would get more of him versus what the hell is her name? Jeff's wife.
Oh, Susie.
Yeah, like I genuinely think that's classic Curb right there. Those two going at it, no matter how nice he is or how nice she is, like it always ends up with her calling him a piece of shit or something.
I have a question for you guys, and this is kind of related to Susie. Have you guys been noticing just like weird female and male tension on the show? Like, for instance, like the first episode when Cheryl and Larry were doing the ventriloquist thing, Jeff was laughing mad hard.
Yeah.
And Susie looked at him like she felt assaulted. The way.
Yes, she was absolutely salty. Right?
Then when Larry got the picture, which was just a nice gesture.
Right.
Jeff felt away because his wife really liked it.
That was a little over the top, though.
Jeff was upset because he told Larry what to get her, which is a camera, and B, he knew, like, if Larry gets this, how am I going to top this? And so he hated, and then when the picture was ruined, his only like out was to just kind of like attack Larry really hard. Like, what have you done? This wonderful thing. You'll never get one like it. Like, cause he knew that's the only way I could survive.
I just thought there was a weird dynamic going on there.
That Susie and Jeff are not on the same page.
I don't know.
It usually ends up with her cussing Jeff out though.
Susie trying to give Larry the,
no.
The pee?
Oh, God. No.
I was just saying. I was just sure.
No, she was salty about Jeff laughing because he was making fun of her. The joke was about Susie. That's what she was salty about, because they made a joke about Susie and Jeff laughed a little too hard. Like, you know.
Okay. I thought she was just like, oh, you really laughing at this broad's jokes like that? Because you know your girl don't want you to laugh at other people's jokes. No, other women's jokes.
The joke was about Susie, though.
Yeah.
Though,
okay. Specifically. Fair. Reading it too into the sexual tension then on the show.
But there's always
about me.
But there is always a tension between Jeff and Susie. Like they're always on their relationship is always on the cusp.
Oh yeah. That's always on the cusp of divorce. What if it happened to their daughter? Is she like in college now?
No, she's engaged. Don't like what was it last episode? They're talking about we got to get something for.
She's engaged now.
Well, she was old last season, right? Like they showed her being an older child last season.
She's always been involved in some of the funniest plots too, though, dude.
Oh man,
Sammy, isn't that who Larry got drunk? On?
Yeah.
He's got a drunk, like, the Judy doll.
Hold on, but like the drunk one is my favorite because Susie was like, you gave the baby alcohol. It's like, I thought it was grape juice. She's like slurring. She's slurring her words. I thought it was a speech impediment. You've known her since she was born. That's what I thought. It was so odd. That's like to this day, that was the craziest like argument between the two of them. Oh my God, man. Ew. What a great show. You know, this is what I realized last season when I was watching after it picked up. I'm like, oh, it's back to being Curb or whatever. And I was on a flight. And on the flight, you know, on the screen, they're like, oh, we got back seasons of Curb Your Enthusiasm. So I watched, I can't remember which season it was. Dude, I laughed so hard. I was like, oh, it's so gone, man. It'll never be the way it was. Like seasons like 4, 5, 6, tears, man. Tears. And again,
those middle seasons were just unstoppable.
And the best part was they had like the what it was there was a theme throughout the season, but also in the episode there was a theme because it would start and then things would happen. And then the end of the episode would bring it all back full circle. They were so good at creating those story arcs. Yeah, man.
But at least they're still able to deliver moments like the premiere episode of this year.
Yeah.
Where, you know, again, in the first episode, they weren't telegraphing everything. It's like when Larry grabbed that MAGA hat, I was like, wait, what's about? And then I was like, oh my God, I should have saw this coming. You know, like,
right.
I don't know.
They weren't telegraphing, but it lacked the thread that kept it all together. Yeah. It just felt like random jokes. You know, like how some rappers sometimes will have all these punchlines that they wrote and they're like, oh, you know what? This whole third verse is just going to be all these random punchlines that I wrote. And so it's nothing but like, yo, I'll sleep on you like Rip Van Winkle. Yo, I ain't European, but I'm gonna make you tinkle. Like everything was like has nothing to do with anything before it. It's just random, and obviously those were trash. But like it was funny. The jokes were funny. They just didn't have any connective tissue, I guess.
How often do you think about your socks? If you're like I used to be, not much, but I recently discovered socks that changed the way I'll think about socks forever. They're called Bombas. Now, Rob, like you've noticed that. The high water pants are back in style, and even me, I'm participating in the trend. And so now whenever I throw on a pair of pants, I literally have to consider what my socks look like. And that's why I like Bombas, because the styling, the creativity in the design is super distinct. And I know that I'm getting compliments, that I will be getting compliments every time that I wear it, and I'm going to get looks. And so that's why I think it's more important than ever right now, because again, your socks are constantly showing now, especially when you're participating in the high water trend. And so that's why you should get your hands on some Bombas, man. Buy your Bombas at bombas.com/BOMM today and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/BOMM for 20% off. Bombas.com/bomb.
So first and foremost, we can do this one of two ways. We can either say, y'all tell me which ones y'all like, or we can, I have a list of them in front of me and we can go yay or nay on them.
Let's go yay, nay.
Okay, here we go. First one on the list here, Bill Murray, Groundhog Day. That one, everyone said is the best one.
That was the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Me too.
And the thing is, I'm not old enough to understand the lore of Bill Murray, but I get what he means culturally, and that like he's like, oh, I'm off all of this, so I can appreciate him showing up in a commercial.
Did you watch Groundhog Day?
Yeah. To me, it's about two things. Have you seen this movie? And do you know that Bill Murray doesn't do any ads? Doesn't do any, like, barely does appearances. Right. The fact that he was in Zombieland was like a massive like upset. Like what? He did Zombieland. I think he did Zombieland 2 as well. Yeah, he did. If you watch Zombieland 2, if you watch after the credits, there's a whole like Bill Murray scene. So like the fact that he got up for a commercial is a pretty big deal. And also Groundhog Day was a pretty good movie.
So here's my takeaway from it. It didn't make me want to go buy a Jeep, but Groundhog Day was fire. And just the fact that they could kind of reenact that.
And they got the dudes. They got the original people from the movie. That's what I like that too. All right, so we're all unanimous on that one. Next one, avocados from Mexico. This is the one that was like the Home Shopping Network, and it was all about the avocados.
Nope.
And Molly Ringwald. That was a no for me. I mean, it was kind of funny, and then it just kept going. I was like, I've had enough of this. Waz, I know you like Molly Ringwald, man.
Nah. Again, what? Before my time, like when she had a moment that I don't even know that I was born for. So, and you know, that's not something I was interested in going back and watching. Although I think I feel like they used to show Breakfast Club and all that other stuff on Channel 11 and all that. Back when you know, when you was broke and Haitian, your Haitian parents didn't want to get cable, and the only movies you could watch was on WPIX.
There you go.
So
on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Blood Sport and Weird Science. That's all you got to watch, man.
Blood Sport, good movie.
All right, Hyundai. This is the one with John Krasinski and Captain America, whose name escapes me. The Wicked Smat Cat, it packs itself. I thought it was pretty funny, man. I liked it. I'm thumbs up on that one.
Which one?
Hyundai. Wicked Smat Cat.
Jim from The Office.
Yeah, it was cool.
Oh.
You know, like Big Poppy trying to do the Boston accent too. Y'all didn't like that one? I thought that one was
I wasn't mad at that one.
Boston accent.
And it's crazy because I saw Big Poppy and I'm like, yo, that homie survived the shooting, man.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that came to my mind, bro.
I'll take that to see good thing seeing his face, but like,
yeah, real talk though. That's literally the first thing that came to my mind, because I went to DR this summer, and I think it was like maybe 2 or 3 weeks before I went to DR, he had got popped.
Yeah.
And everybody I know was like, yo, fam, you better relax. Like, yo, be careful in DR. It's gonna be crazy.
Well, we weren't saying relax because of that. We're talking relax because of the alcohol.
Yeah, the alcohol.
Oh, yeah, it was that too. It was everything, though.
It was a lot of shit going on.
People just shook
a
DR, bro.
DR are wild as shit right now.
All right.
Nah, fam. Poppy was gunning some drug lord's woman, and he clapped back at him.
Allegedly.
All right. I'm not, I don't know anything. I don't want to know anything. But all right. So y'all seem lukewarm on that one. I thought that one was one of the better ones. So fuck y'all. Facebook. the Facebook commercial with everything
Facebook
was kind of Rock related. And then and the Rock thing and Chris Rock and Rocky Balboa. And even though like the Chris Rock and then Sylvester Stallone like kind of thing at the end was a nice twist, I didn't care about the rest of the ad.
I'm going to say no.
The idea that Facebook is the reason that people go rock climbing or take cooking classes is like, you got to miss me, Facebook. Like,
y'all destroyed.
Yeah, like we're just supposed to conveniently forget about all of that because you reminded us that you have a thing called Facebook groups.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, that shit was crazy to me, fam. Like, of course, I'm always happy to see Chris Rock and even Sylvester Stallone to a much way lesser extent. But like, come on, man.
Come on, Rocky.
Next commercial, we didn't see the first part because it got pulled because of the death of Kobe Bryant, but we saw the part two is what they aired, which was the birth of Baby Nut, which tells me that there were no black people in that room when they came up with this commercial.
Kobe was supposed to be a part of that?
The original Planners commercial, the first part was Mr. Peanut dies in a car crash over a cliff or something like that. And Wesley Snipes was riding with him. And that's why Wesley Snipes is at the funeral or whatever. But once Kobe passed away, they were like, oh, we can't have someone dying in a crash because it was too soon. So they cut the first part and they just started at the funeral.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that explains why that was so fucking random to me.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. I know the whole Baby Nut was kind of the theme of the week after that.
But again... Like, y'all didn't ask anybody? Nobody had any sort of urban friends? Hey, guys, what do you think about this ad? We're calling it Baby Nut. To which Van Lathan said Baby Nut is
That's up there with Ski, 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 bro.
Yeah, exactly. That is right up there with Ski, Ski, Ski. Also, as the great Van Lathan said immediately, like, he tweeted it and then posted it immediately as it dropped. He said, Baby Nut happens on your fourth Pornhub session of the day. Y'all are wilding for this whole thing, and you know it.
Fourth Pornhub in a day.
When it's just a nub.
Let me say it right now. Me and Van were on Figurant 2 on the same day, and we shared a moment talking about porn consumption habits, man. So if you head over to Flagrant 2 after this, I think y'all will enjoy that episode. Let's see. Next, by the way, we all went thumbs down on Baby Nut, right?
Yes.
Of course.
I'm cool on Baby Nut.
Next one, the Kia commercial with Josh Jacobs, who I'd never heard of in my life, talking to his younger self. And I said, look, guy had as I did my research, said, all right, he had a great year or whatever, and that's nice, whatever, but like, Super Bowl commercial? You gotta have people I've heard of, bro. You can't have no names out here for a Super Bowl commercial.
So you have to understand that was a part of Hov's rollout on some listen, they was trying to sneak a ton of black, like, ish commercials in there, social injustice and all kind of stuff. But again, that Kia was super random. Not too many people know who he is. It's hard to identify football players without their helmets.
Even with his helmet, I've never heard of
You're not supposed to know who he is, because like, the Raiders ain't good. So,
oh, the Raiders running back.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've never heard of this dude in my life.
But no, but his story was supposed to be like, you know what I mean?
Trey, you tell me there's no other black player that we have heard of who got a story like that? Why'd they pick him?
Because it was relevant at the time. It's he's to new. Who? To motherfuckers that follow that story. They was eating that shit up all year.
This was a story. Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, no, this is actually a thing.
What story are you talking about?
He had just bought his dad a house and shit.
Thumbs down. Anyone else want to give this guy a thumbs up?
No, I
wasn't on this story. So
again, I'm all for commercials, especially commercials that are trying to sell shit. I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, I want to buy that. That didn't make me want to buy it.
I'm all for Super Bowl commercials that are entertaining, and I don't even remember what they were a commercial for. I'm all good with that, but like, I don't give a shit about this kind of shit. In general, the emotional stuff usually doesn't get me, and then especially emotional stuff about somebody I've never heard of, man. Like, get out of here. But presenting him as someone I should have known. Like, I don't like that. Not for a Super Bowl. Next one, Chrissy Teigen and John Legend, when they try to zhuzh up old money folks with their new Genesis car.
I don't even remember that one. I probably went to go piss.
I liked that commercial. It was cool.
All right. It was okay.
I think I've had enough of them, though.
I kind of have.
And I am 100% John Legend fan. I fuck with John Legend heavy.
I like Chrissy Teigen, too. But
Get
I just
Lifted
don't like-
was a great album, Jerv.
How long ago was that album?
Probably like 2005.
Wow. You know, he's dope. But I'm off it.
They're good people that care about the right things and bring a lot of attention to the right things. And also, I just don't want to hear from them anymore.
By the way, he's doing the same Chance thing. The same, I love my wife. I'm a family man. I love my kids. But he's just less awkward about it. But it's the same gimmick that he's running.
It also helped that his famous.
Why is there nothing wrong with a married man saying how much they love their wife? Why,
I'm just saying,
brother, the man's in love with his wife. He just wants to let the world know. Right. Why he loves
you
his
got
wife.
It. You got yeah, it. You man. Got it.
Support you black it. Love, Waz.
You got
yeah.
it.
Don't be that guy.
Okay. All right. I heard you.
You said what?
Next one, the Cheetos commercial where you can't touch this, and because the guy's got like stuff on his fingers, He can't touch anything.
I thought it was corny.
I was happy that Hammer got some bread.
It was a Curb episode in a commercial where it's like, all right, oh, I found this way to get out of things that I don't want to do. But I was happy to, Trey just said, I was happy to see Hammer. You know what I mean? He's doing his thing.
Yeah.
Hammer went broke, so you know I'm more focused.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see him.
I'm all right. Like, it was corny, but I'm like, I'm with it. Like, why not?
You know what? That was like a legit Super Bowl commercial, actually. Not the way, now that you think about it.
In what sense?
It's a chips company. Yes. It's pop music from 30 years ago. It's like, yeah, I hear what Jervis is saying.
You just bring the random guy, the random hip, random music person out that you haven't seen in X amount of years. They pop up, they do their catchphrase.
Did they take it down? Why isn't it on YouTube?
Just saw it today on television.
The full one or just the little teaser part?
I think it was the full one. I mean, there was like 12. You can't touch this.
Yeah.
Minute, so
yeah, yeah, that's the full one. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Doritos Old Town Road Showdown. Now this one, for some reason, people reacted very strongly to what I said on Twitter. This is the Doritos one where it's like a cowboy movie, and they got the one dude who always Sam whatever his name is, Sam Elliott. On one side, and then it turns out it's Little Nas X, and then they have like a dance off instead of like a shootout at the OK Corral. But this is what I said at the time. That poor kid has to wear a cowboy
half for the rest of his life.
And people are like, oh, he's not that poor. I'm like, if y'all don't stop, when I say poor person, I don't mean like how much money they have, you stupid motherfuckers.
I'm talking about a sad situation.
Yeah, I feel sad for him. The same thing I said to someone about like a Beyonce. I felt bad for Beyonce. Who are you to feel bad for Beyonce? I'm like, yo, people can be sad. Just because they're rich don't mean anything.
But At the same time, he doesn't have to be doing this.
Kind of does.
He's leaning into this, bro.
What else is he going to do?
Panini record was charting. Like, he's got other joints that his fans like. I think he's literally about to drop the last juice out of this.
But his whole thing is, you have to look at it like this. It's going to be how he segues from this. If he's going to try to do a new look, and once he tries to do a new look, he's super creative because he's just like on the, you got to think about this kid ran a Nicki Minaj fan page Twitter account, and he's very computer literate. But my whole thing is, it's like, if you're going to like jump away from the whole cowboy suit thing and probably go into some space shit or whatever the fuck it is, I hope that it works out for him because gimmicks get old. And I don't know. Cause he looked like he can kill it on TikTok. And that's that's the next move. Like, if you're nice at TikTok,
isn't that how he blew up?
No.
That's how he blew up. The song blew up on TikTok.
But the song, I think it got his first legs on TikTok.
Yeah.
But he was already on TikTok, and he was like, all right, I know there's a lane to be filled here with this thing. Like, he already knew what he was doing. He's just like Trey said, he's really internet savvy. That's why I'm not worried about him. I think he's just like, look, man,
Patrick Troy came for him, which was hilarious, and we didn't tap into, but I think
why did Pastor Troy come for him?
You didn't know that?
What's up with Pastor Troy?
Listen, this is going to make the rundown now. I'm sorry. All right, man. So Pastor Troy was so disgusted with Lil Nas X, bro. He puts up an Instagram post, bro. So bro is so frustrated. He said, well, guess I won't be winning a Grammy if this is what I got to wear. Because Lil Nas X was wearing that pink cowboy suit with the stirrups and whatever.
Right. He was nominated?
Who? Pastor Troy?
No, he's just saying.
He was just saying. Generally,
I had a song since I was in college.
That's what I'm saying. Listen to the
funny shit, though. He says they love to push this shit on our kids. The other day, Applebee's had some punks kissing and laughing, eating mozzarella sticks. First thing my 14-year-old son says is "F bleep." No, basically, fuck Applebee's, and it brought joy to my heart. He sees it.
their agenda to take the masculinity from men, black men especially. Some may say he making money. RuPaul do too, but I ain't bumping his CD. Integrity is priceless. Y'all better open that third eye and let your sons know what is real, or they are they going are they ass gonna be headed down that old town road for real.
Wait, this is bars?
No, he just put that in his capture, right?
Oh my God.
Listen.
I wonder who found it, because who follows Pastor Trump on Instagram?
Hashtag they gonna ride till they can't no more. Hashtag black owned independent. Hashtag not my sons. Hashtag it ain't worth it. Hashtag take the road less traveled. Hashtag you will get there. Hashtag DSGB. Hashtag won't be on my page long. So Pastor Troy is like fed up over Lil Nas, right? And it's just kind of random that you just come for that kid. But just even thinking about a nigga being disturbed that niggas eating mozzarella sticks and Applebee's.
Bruh, like he sounded so mad, yo. Like,
I fuck bruh, with mozzarella sticks.
Like, you was never, listen, I love Are We Cutting It? But you would
such a great record.
Listen, but you're not gonna get a Grammy for that.
Come on, Pastor Troy. Like, you was never gonna win a Grammy.
Like no. I think he's like alluding to like the, you know, the rumored like alphabet people complex. Like, oh, you gotta give in to the alphabet people in order to be a success in Hollywood or whatever.
By the way, Pastor Troy is 42 years old.
Wow. I feel old now.
Wait, what was the other song y'all said? I just know We Ready. What was the other one?
Are we up? Are We Cutting?
I don't think I know that.
You know Vice Versa, too. You got to know Vice Versa.
I probably have heard them. I just didn't know the names.
Yeah, that shit is wild, bro.
Oh, sidebar. My daughter's nice as shit with TikTok, too. So I need to put her on the Lil Nas X. You can make a fucking hit.
When you and LeBron should battle. That nigga Jerv had jigs.
Yeah, Jerv was dancing, and I was like, "All right, man."
That's some tight shit, though, man. You could be a father and do that shit. That's cool, man. I fuck with it.
I'm out.
All right, what we got next, man?
All right, next one. All right, let's start flying through some of these. Audi with Arya Stark singing "Let It Go."
I like that. I was actually, you know, she's always going to be a little kid to us forever. Niggas was like, hey, she driving. I'm like, bitch, she's
22
Yo, but the thing is, I don't know. I didn't get the song reference. Can y'all tell me what the song reference is? I was with a lot of white people in the neighborhood, but I didn't.
Oh, it's from the movie Frozen. It's a Disney movie. Frozen.
Okay, no.
Let It Go. But I don't know what she's letting go, but I didn't like it. Bryan Cranston and Tracy Ellis Ross.
Trash. They showed that one today.
Oh, that was terrible.
What, is that a movie coming out or something?
No, that's
The Shining.
The Shining, bro.
Jack Nicholson is just...
No. I know what the movie is. I was wondering if they were doing a remake.
Yeah, nah, man. They've redone so many scenes. Like that movie has been spoofed so many times by white Hollywood. It's just, you know. It's like they're freaking do the right thing, man. It's
well, ridiculous. Why? Wouldn't white Hollywood, wouldn't that mean it's good movies for you? Because according to you,
See, Jerv, you still don't remember what the point was. The point was that black people like bad movies, whether they're made by blacks or whites. Okay?
Thank you.
Get off the weed!
I misremembered. I apologize.
Yeah, you misremembered.
Watch next week. We're going to ask Jerv about the dog. He's like, what? I hate dogs.
Oh no, my brother! I can't even listen to a dog die on a movie. I got to turn that sound off. I can't. So
you gonna go buy one so you can listen to a dog die in your house?
Wow.
Rick and Morty, Pringles.
You know I was all in on that, even though a lot of people they got lazy with it, but I still rock with it.
They got lazy with it, but they still did it in a Rick and Morty way, which is like you're selling us a product, but you're shitting on the product at the same time.
Yeah,
I've never seen that show.
Oh man.
Never seen Rick and Morty or BoJack. I just have a thing about animated shit. I don't know.
I know you do.
Cause get over it.
Waz used to live with me. He know I fire up all the anime shit.
It's the black in you, Waz. It just...
I know. It is, though.
Really is. You ain't watching no cartoons.
It really is, man. Shit for kids. It's stupid, but I really, it's hard.
I don't know if there's anyone that you guys like, but Jason Momoa on the day.
Jason Momoa was pretty good. That was funny,
the one that actually my absolute favorite one before we move on, right? My absolute favorite one was not the NFL 100 commercial, which is pretty good. It was well done. My absolute favorite one, no one remembers this. In the middle of the Super Bowl, they showed us outtakes from making that commercial. And it's two players for the Rams. I don't know who they are, but one is
Jalen Ramsey.
And the other one says, nobody can understand you with that country ass accent. And then they cut right there. And then they go again and say, all right, we're going to do this one take. And the one says something and the other dude starts talking. And then he just starts laughing because he realizes, oh shit, nobody can understand what I'm saying. Because, like, what?
Hatred for the South continues.
He said they're not from Florida. Can't nobody understand what you're saying.
No, that was the best commercial by far to me of the Super Bowl. By far. Even though it wasn't a commercial for anything.
Hey, you can hear me loud enough? You can hear me loud enough?
You only gonna need one take of this. This the one.
You ready? Let me know when you're ready. I got it now.
Action!
No, Sam.
What? You said that way too fast, bro. You from Florida, that everybody can't understand that. Cut. It's with TV, you gotta slow down.
It's going viral.
I laughed so hard, man. I was crying. My kid didn't understand like what was going on. I was like, oh man, you have to just be there.
Sick dad, man.
Yo, everybody, it's Rob here, cutting in just to let you know we have the rest of the show on Patreon right now. Bomb Overflow, patreon.com/countthedings. We go into the Super Bowl halftime show. We also talk about the return of Lil Wayne in his recent interview on Drink Champs. So go ahead and check us out over on Patreon. Once again, patreon.com/countthedings. And we'll see you in New York in March.
Speaking of being there, I've seen a sick dad. Jay-Z. Hey, man. I apologize for everything I said.